Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you here today. Glad that we can be together. Looks like I'm speaking to a lot of stuffed folks. I feel like I've just done nothing but eat the last 3 days. I told someone this morning, I think if I'm not careful, I'm going to turn into a peanut butter ball. We have enjoyed good food and good family, and I hope that you have as well. And I hope that every day we're expressing our thanks for what our God has blessed us with. And really, that's what I want to talk about this morning. The idea that we are blessed in Christ. I want to encourage you to open your Bibles up to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to spend our time this morning in verses 1 through 14. And we're going to notice at least 7 ways in which God has blessed us. And He has blessed us through His Son. In fact, I'm sure you noticed this as you have studied, but in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, we're reminded of this great truth. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. My friends, I want us to understand that it is in Christ that we have every spiritual blessings. Most of the time, when it comes to something like this, as long as you get close, you might feel like you get some of the blessings or some of the benefits. Let me give you an example. Oh, I don't know how long ago, when my son was a teenager, he decided that he wanted to try Taekwondo. I said, okay, we're going to try it. I'm going to do it too. And we're going to do it for at least a year. Got to stick with it for at least a year. And so we did. And I think we got to green or blue belt, something like that. He said, I'm going to quit. I don't want to do it anymore. I said, that's okay. I'm going to go on and get my black belt. And I did. So you better pay attention this morning. But even though he didn't go on and get his black belt, did he learn some things about Taekwondo? Yeah, he did. He did. He got some of the benefit of that from getting close. I think sometimes people think that way about the spiritual blessings that are in Christ. Well, maybe I don't have all of them, but I get some of them. That's not the way this works, folks. You either have them all or you have none. You are either in Christ and you have these spiritual blessings, or we are outside of Christ and we are without them. That's why it's so important, folks, for us to make sure we're in Christ. And I want us to all understand there's only one way into Jesus Christ, and that's by being baptized into Christ. That's how we put Him on, the Bible teaches us. But once we are in Christ, we are truly a blessed people. Let's notice some of the things that Paul shares with us here about how we are blessed when we are in Christ. First of all, we're reminded that we are a chosen people. That's what he tells us in verse 4, that we're a chosen people. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And so we can say we are a chosen people. You remember, under the old covenant, God had a chosen people, right? They were the Israelites. They were His chosen people. Well, in the New Testament, God has a chosen people. God has chosen that Christians will be His people. I know that our friends who believe in predestination want to run to a passage like this and try and say that God has chosen certain individuals to be saved and certain to be lost, and really you can't do anything about it. It's all been predetermined. That's not what Paul is talking about here at all. Paul is letting us know that if you choose to be a Christian, you are one of God's chosen people. He's chosen Christians to be his people. We must choose to be Christians. He's given us that free will. But in choosing to put on Christ, we become part of that chosen people. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you love the feeling of being included? Being one of the chosen? Anybody here ever experienced that nightmare on the playground where teams are being chosen up and it gets down to you and two girls on the other side? And they choose the two girls instead of you? Now, guys, you know that feeling. Girls are saying, wait a minute, he can't do it. Well, you're right. Sometimes the girls are just better. But everybody, how about when you hear about someone going on an outing? They didn't ask you to go. Now, folks, I know it is not possible to ask every person to everything. But we all know that feeling of not being included. God wants us to understand that we belong, that we're included, that He wants us, He desires us. And He's letting us know that when we are in Christ, we are His chosen people. What a blessing. Then you have this idea of being blessed in Christ. We have been adopted. We've been adopted. Notice verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. He reminds us that we have been adopted into the family of God. You know, the Bible uses different figures at different times to talk about us coming into the family of God. We certainly remember that we must be born again, born of water and of the Spirit. There's that idea that is given that would include us in the family of God. Here's another image to speak to us of being part of that family. We are adopted into God's family. In the Roman world, adoption was pretty prevalent for boys. They didn't really care about adopting girls because, you see, here was the reason they would adopt. They would adopt if they didn't have any sons so that they could have a male heir to give their things to. One that could care for them, carry on that name. And so they would adopt. Today, we certainly have this practice, very wonderful practice, really. Helps so many. This past week, I was reading several letters written by grown-ups now, but they had been adopted. And I don't know if anyone here has adopted or been adopted. That's your personal business. But these letters went in great detail to express the gratitude that these children had for their adoptive parents. They didn't have to choose them, but they did. They didn't have to open up their home, their hearts, but they did. And they were so thankful. So thankful to their adopted parents. To be brought into a family where there is love and care and guidance and instruction. In a Christian family, to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Can only imagine the gratitude. And folks, that's what we really ought to have. Because He tells us that we are His adoptive children. We've been adopted into the family of God to have all the blessings that are found in Christ. And so He reminds us that we're chosen and that we've been adopted. And then thirdly, He reminds us that we have this blessing. We have been redeemed. We've been redeemed. Look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. We love, don't we? A great redemption story. I mean, when someone has messed up or made a mistake and then they pick themselves up and then they show their worth. I imagine that most of you have seen the movie Braveheart. If you haven't, TBS will be showing it again this afternoon, I'm sure. It's all on all the time. But anyway, there's a character there. The main one is Mel Gibson, William Wallace. But there's a character who's called Robert the Bruce. I don't like him. I don't like him. Not at first. Because he betrays this patriot. But in the end, he's the one that leads Scotland to their freedom. He redeemed himself. He became one of their great, great leaders. Well, we haven't redeemed ourselves, but we have been redeemed. And the one who is our redeemer is Christ, who paid the price for you and for me. There is no greater redemption story than that which heaven has given us. We're chosen, we're adopted, we are redeemed. And then in this same passage, you see the idea that we have been forgiven. Not only redeemed, but forgiven of our sins. He tells us there in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He didn't have to. We didn't deserve it. And yet our God is willing to forgive us of our sins. And the terms that are used here for the forgiveness of sins is the idea of the clearing of the account. There's no place found for them anymore, those charges. I wonder if we ever stop and think about the debt that we owed. We remember, don't we, the wages of sin? It's death. A death sentence is what we owe. And yet that debt has been forgiven through the blood of our Savior. We have the forgiveness of our sins. It's what ought to lead us to be forgiving toward one another. And that's so important that Jesus said, if we don't forgive each other, our Father in heaven will not forgive us. But we have this wonderful blessing in Christ. We've been forgiven of our sins. We look at the next idea and we can see from verses 9 and 10 that we have been given God's plan. Been given God's plan. Notice what he tells us here. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. He reminds us that we have been given God's plan. This was a mystery. It was something that had not been made known as of yet, but now it has. Through the apostles, the gospel is preached, and God's plan is shared. And we probably take it for granted. I'm sure that I do. To have this knowledge, something that the prophets of old desired to look into and didn't fully understand. We've had it now for 2,000 years nearly. And so we may take it for granted. But folks, it wasn't always fully revealed. Remember in Acts chapter 8, there's Philip. And he's going to study with the Ethiopian nobleman. And Philip asks him, do you understand what you're reading? Understandest thou what thou readest? Do you remember how he responded? How can I, except some man should guide me? He was wanting to know, but he didn't. And so Philip enters into the chariot and he begins preaching to him about Jesus. But we have been made to know God's plan. His plan for Christ to bring the Savior into the world. His plan for that death and burial and resurrection to give us the hope of eternal life. His plan for the church, for all to be one in Christ, Jew and Gentile, and even those in heaven. I was listening to a sermon not long ago by an older preacher, and he was talking about older preachers. And he said he remembered those older preachers sometimes saying things like this. Let's open our Bibles up to Acts and let's see what Brother Luke says. Or let's go to the Gospel of John. Let's see what Brother John has to say. Call them brother. Somebody might say, well, they're dead. Are they still your brother? Absolutely they are. Because they've gone on to their reward. And there is that brotherhood that we have in Christ, all according to God's plan. How wonderful, blessed, how wonderfully blessed we are to have the gospel and all that it brings to light. Here's the next one, and that is we are blessed in Christ because we have an inheritance. He tells us this in verse 11, in whom, that is in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance. An inheritance. And that inheritance is reserved for us in heaven. It's something that we need to treasure. It's something that you can have right now, and you will have it as long as you hold on to it. Do you remember Esau of old? He comes in from his work, his hunting, and he sees Jacob. He's got that pottage there, that stew, and he says probably what we say every now and then, I'm starving to death. I got to have something to eat. And Jacob says, well, you can have a pot of this stew if you'll sell me your birthright, the inheritance. The Bible tells us that Esau disdained his inheritance, his birthright. He didn't think much of it. He let it go. Let it go for a pot of stew. And I wonder, how many of my brothers and sisters in Christ have let go of their inheritance? Maybe for less than a pot of stew. Folks, it's ours. But you got to hold on to it. But we're blessed in Christ with this wonderful inheritance. And then we see this last idea that I want to share with you from these verses here in Ephesians chapter 1. We have a guarantee. In Christ we have a guarantee. Notice verses 13 and 14. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. He mentions this seal of the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest. Don't use that term very often, but if you've bought a house, you probably have put down earnest money, a little bit to go toward the payment, to guarantee that you're serious about this matter and that you will pay the rest. He says the stamp of the Holy Spirit is our earnest. That seal of the Holy Spirit is the idea of putting a mark upon. About a year ago, I went to a little county fair. And when I went inside, they stamped my hand. And that meant I'd paid in full. And I could enjoy all the things that were inside that fair. I could go in and out. I'd paid. I'd been marked. That seal was upon me. Well, heaven's seal, God's seal is upon us, so that we can have all the blessings that are found in Christ. And so we look at a passage like this, Ephesians 1 and verses 1 through 14, and we can just see over and over again how we are blessed in Christ. And that's the key. And I hope that you noticed that little phrase as we were studying through this section of Scripture. Because over and over again, Paul is going to use it throughout the book of Ephesians. In Christ. In whom? In Him. That's where the blessings are. And so as we close this study this morning, let me just ask you, where do you stand today? And my friend, if you're here and you can't say, I'm in Christ because I've put Him on in baptism for the forgiveness of my sins, you need to change that so that the blessings, every spiritual blessing, can be yours in Christ. There's a reason that Ethiopian nobleman went on his way rejoicing after obeying the gospel. He had every spiritual blessing. We can do that today. And if you're here as one who has obeyed, but you've fallen away and you need to come back, we want to pray with you and for you. And so this morning, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, we encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing.